Name 143 is Brajishnu. How many of you have heard this name, Brajishnu? Not Vraj. Vraj means Vrindavan. Brajishnu. Not a very well-known name. Those who recite Vishnu Sahasranam, they may know it, but others are not likely to know. Not a very well-known name. It's just in a couple of verses previously, the name Bhanu came up, which is a better known name. It's a very similar meaning. Bhanu means the sun. It's the usual meaning ascribed to it. It also, but the basic meaning is light-giving, effulgent. So, Brajishnu means the same thing. Self, but specifically means it's self-effulgent. You can have a light bulb with a very powerful light, but it requires electricity to make it bright. It requires to be powered, but Krishna is self-powered. This is sometimes described also as self-effulgent consciousness. So, Krishna is completely independent. He does not require to take anything from anyone, and he also doesn't have to give anything to anyone. He's completely independent. So Krishna is the fully effulgent, the light of the sun and the moon, although very powerful and apparently independent, especially the sun, at least even our dear friend, the scientists, they also say that the light of the moon is reflected by the sun. But the sun appears to be an independently powerful, independently effulgent. But as we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, from all the Shastras, that the light of the sun and the moon comes from Krishna. Prabhasmi Sashi Suryoho. He is the light of the sun and the moon and anything else. So Krishna, he is naturally bright. It's not that he you turn on a light and you turn it off. But Krishna, he's always bright, which is useful for him when he goes stealing butter in the dark cellar. But it's also works against him because he gets caught also when he's trying to hide. But this is Vishnu Sahasranam. So Vishnu is not so badly behaved as to go stealing butter. He has it all very regally served to him. But we always remember Krishna as we are discussing this. So his pure effulgence without association with any other source. And although he's fully bright and fully effulgent, those who are like owls, they cannot see him. They refuse to see him. Nor does he reveal himself. Although he is fully effulgent, that's also stated that the gems on the gems are naturally effulgent. Well, we say that, but naturally means because they also take light from Krishna. But the gems on the body of Krishna do not make his body light. Rather, he gives light to the gems. Similarly, we dress Krishna very nicely. And we may say, oh, he's very beautifully decorated today. He's very beautifully decorated today. So, we may think that we are making Krishna more beautiful, but He is the beauty of all beauty. He is the strength of all strength. If there's any strength, that strength comes from Krishna. If there's any intelligence, that intelligence comes from Krishna. If there's anything bad, that also comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Actually, nothing bad comes from Krishna. But the only thing bad is to forget that everything comes from Krishna, which will be discussed in the next couple of names. So Krishna is always effulgent. At the same time, one could imagine that giving all the heat and light, all the light to the universe, to millions of universes, he must be very hot. It's like the sun. You can't enter the sun. It's very hot. So much light is coming from it. But Krishna, you can embrace him and you won't get burned. Not that you'll, like in the hellish planets, there are figurines of women who by red hot, so by embracing them one has to suffer in a different way that one suffers from embracing the forms in this world. One also has to suffer, whatever form one embraces, other than that of Krishna or his devotees. But Krishna, although the source of all light, is not at all painful. It's very pleasing in all respects. Krishna, being all pleasing in all respects, is also known, the next name, name 144, as Bhojana. So Bhojana, that means something which is enjoyed, and by extension, that means food. Something which is consumed. The literal meaning is something which is consumed. We don't, among devotees, we don't say that we will take bhojan. Now it's time for bhojan. In Hindi and other languages, the word for food. Now they say khana, but actually that's an Urdu word, but the Sanskrit word is bhojan, for food. But devotees don't say that. They don't say, bhojan khayenge, will you eat food? But we say, please honor prasadam. There's a very big difference in the consciousness, isn't there? Come and eat. That we say to Krishna. Mother Yashoda says to Krishna. Aishoeka. Velo holo damodar aishoekana. Baladeva shanem karaho bhajana. So Krishna, he eats. He enjoys. He consumes. He is the enjoyer. The name after this is Bhukta, which means he who is the enjoyer. So the whole crux of Vaishnava understanding, especially Gauriya Vaishnava understanding, this point is made most clear, is that we are not the enjoyer, we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. He is the enjoyer, as he states in Bhagavad Gita. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha. I am the enjoyer. And the master of all sacrifices. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam. Krishna is the enjoyer. That all yajnas, all austerity, that should all be offered for Krishna is actually the enjoyer of that. And so Krishna says, yad karoshi, yad ashnasi. Ashnasi means to eat. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tad karushva madarpanam. Offer everything to me, Krishna says. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever charity you give away, whatever austerities you perform, everything should be offered to me. That is the proper function of the jiva Krishnarthe Kila Cheshta. These four words, if we can learn these and internalize these, that is the perfection of our spiritual life. Just to understand that everything we, all our endeavors, which includes everything we say, do, think, all for the sake of Krishna, all for Krishna's pleasure. A little bit expanded understanding of this is Atindriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnindriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. Material lust which binds us in this world of suffering is the pursuit of personal sense gratification. And prema, pure love of Krishna, that means to act for Krishna's sense gratification. Because Krishna is the enjoyer and we are to be enjoyed by him. That is our natural position. Krishna is bhukta, so that idea comes of consuming. But we are not consumed by Krishna in the sense that when we eat food, it is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. You see, mostly you'll see people living in the modern cities, they'll see such things on some film, on TV or in a school or something, of a snake eating a mouse or something like that. But if you live in the country, then you'll see, or actually in India, in the city also, you'll see the very common, that the lizard will catch an insect, comes around the light, all the insects, the moths come around the light, and then the lizard catches it, swallows it. And that is the end of that life for that jiva, who was in the body of a moth, because now has been consumed by the lizard. And you can see others, so many others see. From time to time you may see, for instance, at one time I was living next to a pond with many frogs. So from time to time the snake would come, and usually the frogs would all jump in the pond and get away, but time to time one of them wouldn't get away. And then he'd become snake food. And you see the snake. Snake looking as happy as a snake can look, because he caught a frog. It's actually quite pathetic. You've seen the snake crawling up, and all the frogs jump away, and the snake's sitting there looking disappointed because he doesn't get. But time to time, Krishna arranges that he gets one. So Krishna doesn't consume in that sense. Of course, as long as we're in material existence, what we consider ourselves to be, namely the body and all that we consider to be our possessions, are consumed by Krishna in the form of time. But Krishna's enjoying us does not, in pure spiritual existence, that doesn't mean we become diminished. Neither are we destroyed, nor are we diminished. It says just like if you serve someone in a company, you work for a boss, and he takes your energy, he consumes your energy, so you are depleted. The time and energy that you could have used for pursuing your own sense gratification is channeled into facilitating the sense gratification of the company boss. And in return, you get some money, which is supposed to be used for your own sense gratification. So by serving anyone in this world, we become diminished. We lose something of ourselves if we're not totally consumed. By being eaten, we're still If we are enjoyed by another, that means that we have to give part of ourselves to another. So giving to Krishna, he doesn't want us to give 40 hours a week only. He doesn't want us to give 50% of our income only. Krishna demands, give everything to me, mame kam sharanam raja. Give up all your hogwash ideas and fully surrender to me, Krishna says. So you may think, well, that's too much. Democratic age, we're all equal, so God should be equal also. He can have one vote only. But Krishna has all the votes. He doesn't have to vote at all. He's completely in control. But this point to be understood, that we are not diminished by offering to Krishna. Rather, we are enhanced. And even if you take it, devotees, they don't take it as a business exchange, but even if you take it like that, we've got a lot more to get from Krishna than he's got to get from us, because he's a lot more than us. Which is why it is very kind of him to extend himself to us, because generally big people, they don't extend themselves to little people. They just order them around and tell them what to do, if they have anything to do with them at all. But Krishna very kindly extends himself to every living being who is willing to accept this little formula of complete submission to Krishna. And Krishna is so kind. What is that? Atma prayanto prasad. What is that? Naloi bhaktir aparad. No. Anyway, this very important term is there. Atma prajanto prasad. He gives mercy to the devotee up to the extent of giving him his very self. He gives himself to his devotee. So who is the enjoyed and who is the enjoyer? The distinction becomes lost, or it's not even thought of in Vrajadham, especially Gaurya Vaishnavas. We'll see all the paintings here. They are of Vrajalila, not of Dwarkalila or Mathura Lila. Because in Vrajalila, Krishna gives himself to the devotees to the extent that although he is the cynosure of all eyes, although he is the heart and soul of everyone, but in many ways he acts as if he's just one of the crowd. He plays with his friends. They have fights as boys will. Boys will be boys. They will fight. Krishna sometimes wins, sometimes he loses. If he won every time, it wouldn't be so much fun fighting with him, would it? There's no chance of winning. If you knew that Krishna is always going to win, then where's the competition? Where's the fun? So Krishna plays as if dependent upon his devotees. So he is intrinsically the enjoyer of everything. And this point, this is to be understood. Atato brahma jignasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of spiritual reality. What is that spiritual reality? Janmadhyasya yataha. That from which everything emanates, that in which everything rests, that into which everything enters. This is the preliminary understanding. This is sambandha gyan. Who is the supreme? Actually, in Sanskrit, who or the term, the who, what, which, these are all the same. If it's in questioning form, it's yat, and if it's in answering form, it's tat. So there's no distinction between animate and inanimate. So some confusion arises in the minds of persons who do not see that the Supreme Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, that comes up. Yat prayat. That term yat comes up in this janmadhyasya yataha. That is the yatova imani bhutani jayante, this verse. So it's not, it's animate or inanimate, this Brahma. It's not, could be taken either way from the Sanskrit. But actually the Supreme is Krishna, the person. So what is our relationship with him? Are we the same as him, equal to him, greater than him, or less than him? Intrinsically, we are all less than him. He is the enjoyer. But not only the enjoyer, as we learn from Vishnu Sahasranam, he is the giver also. He takes, but he gives. And of course, he can give us much more than we can give to him. We can only offer him our gratitude. We haven't got anything in of our own to give him. But that is the position. He is the enjoyer. Eko Bahusyam. He is one, but he has expanded himself into many. For the sake of what? Why? Why should he do that? Why? For what purpose? If he is Atma Rama, satisfied in himself, then why so many jivas? Why? Because Krishna, he is loving. It's his nature to want to interact with others. So he expands himself as so many, his avatar forms, his expansions, as his shaktis, as the jivas, all expansions of Krishna, both svangsha and vibhinangsha, directly himself and separated forms, for enjoyment. And he is the enjoyer. But because the jiva is also part and parcel of Krishna, mamai vangsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, the jiva also has the tendency to enjoy. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada used this word enjoy in a somewhat different manner to that of the original connotation of the word. Somewhat different in as much as the sense of enjoy generally means to be happy, to be happy in a certain situation. But in Srila Prabhupada's lexicon, enjoy is the sense of consuming or taking from someone else, enjoying some. That's there in English also, but specifically to enjoy some object, some person, some situation, and to be the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. We don't hear this word much in normal English, enjoyer, but Krishna is the enjoyer of all that is offered to him. So Krishna enjoys everything that is offered to him by his devotees. Very nice food may be offered by those who are not devotees. They may offer to Krishna with some ulterior motive, but Krishna doesn't accept that, as in the case of Duryodhana. He didn't accept it. He will accept, if there's some modicum of devotion, Krishna will accept it if it's offered in the proper way. Krishna says, prayatatmanaha. Those who are properly following all the procedures, Krishna will accept that. There are certain procedures for offering food to Krishna in the archana vidhi. There are certain rules. You have to say certain mantras. The food has to be cooked in a certain way. There's various procedures which are given by the acharyas. So one may be even a neophyte devotee, but if that is offered to Krishna according to the procedures, unless one is a total offender, then Krishna will accept that. That is his mercy, that he does so, so that we can be purified. If one accepts, even at some level, that Krishna is the enjoyer, we have to offer to him before we can take anything. We are not the direct enjoyer of anything. Then Krishna will kindly accept that. That is his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything should be offered to him. Now that he is also bhojan, he is also the enjoyed. This can be understood in as much as he is non-different from the prasad that is offered to him. And we can also enjoy that. Of course, one should not have so much the spirit of enjoyment. But we can understand how this is, how a devotee enjoys to take prasad. He may personally enjoy various flavors because he's also a sub-enjoyer. But the attitude for honoring prasadam, we can understand from Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in his sannyas lila would sit to take prasad sometimes with a group of devotees, and he would say that because I'm a sannyas, he would just ask for the very simple food. Because I'm a sannyasi, I should take very simple food. But the devotees, by tricks, they would put on his plate very opulent food, and they would say, you just take it to see how Jagannath has taken. Not this idea given. We're not giving it to you. We know you're a sannyasi, and you don't want anything for your own enjoyment. But you're also a devotee of Jagannath, so you want to see how he has enjoyed. You can enjoy, or you can be happy if you take this very pleasing food. Then you can be happy how nice it is that it has been offered to Jagannath, and Jagannath has enjoyed it. So in this way, Krishna, he is bhojana. He is food, or that which is enjoyed. And he is also the object of pleasure, for he himself is the object of pleasure for his devotees. Not that they eat him or they consume him. There's no consumption in the spiritual world, which is a great mystery. The laws of nature as we know them in this world obviously don't function there, because the garlands, the flowers that you make garlands, you make them into garlands, but they don't fade away because there's no diminution in the spiritual world. So you may think there must be many Govardhan hills full of thrown out garlands. How does it all work? I don't know. As Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say when asked questions about the spiritual world, you just go there, then you'll see. No use to ask about it here. And don't bring your scientific textbooks, because it won't work up there. It has its own laws. There's the laws of metaphysics, not the laws of physics. The law of metaphysics is Krishna is the supremely happy. Everything is for Krishna's pleasure. There's no decline, there's no decay. So Krishna, he is also the object of pleasure for his devotees, but in a different way to the way that the devotees are the object of pleasure for Krishna. He is bhukta, he is the enjoyer. And devotees also take pleasure in Krishna. But how is that? The jiva as a minute part and parcel of Krishna also has the tendency to be happy, to want to be happy. So devotees become happy by seeing Krishna happy. And this may work in a very, in a somewhat complex manner. Just like the gopis, they dress themselves very nicely for Krishna. And they want to be with Krishna. When Krishna leaves them, they feel very unhappy. Well, why do they feel unhappy? They should think, you can tell them, you should be detached. Why are you getting so upset? And if you lose your loved one, you be detached. Why are you so attached? But one should be detached in this world from anyone and everything or anything. But one should be very attached to Krishna. So the gopis are upset. Now we will not see Krishna. But their consciousness is that they know that Krishna is happy in their association. Therefore, they feel unhappy that Krishna will not get our association. Although they don't promote themselves like that. So it's somewhat complex and difficult to understand. But everyone in the spiritual world does everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And that's why they're there. And that's why we're here. And that's why we should hear about these topics. How everything should be for the pleasure of Krishna. Because in our neophyte stage of devotional life, we tend to take, because we're so much accustomed to doing everything for our own pleasure, that even when we come to devotional service, we tend to think, how I will do it, how I will be happy. But the consciousness has to be changed to how Krishna will be happy. And then we become happy. When we are acting for the pleasure of Krishna, then we become happy. And we get more impetus to perform devotional service. On the very highest level of devotional service, one doesn't care whether or not he's happy. And actually, that if one's own happiness in devotional service becomes an obstruction to one's service, then the devotee is prepared to forego his own happiness, just like the incident is described of Krishna's charioteer, Daruka, fanning Krishna and becoming stunned in ecstasy and cursing his becoming stunned, because by becoming stunned, I can't continue my fanning service. So he's more interested in performing the service for the pleasure of Krishna than experiencing ecstasy in doing so. So Krishna is enjoyed by the devotees. He's in the sense that Krishna, he gives great pleasure to his devotees. They take pleasure in hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, fanning Krishna, feeding Krishna in all ways possible. They always want to see Krishna happy. And when Krishna is happy, the devotee becomes happy. So Krishna is also bhojana. He is that which is enjoyed by the devotees. Although intrinsically, philosophically, we should understand that Krishna is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. We should do nothing for our own happiness, everything for Krishna's happiness. We maintain the body so that it may serve Krishna. That's all. So this essential point to understand, change of consciousness, change of heart, changing the consciousness from how I shall be happy to how Krishna shall be happy. So this essential point to understand, Krishna is the bhukta. He is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. We are to be enjoyed by him. And if we act and think and work and speak in that consciousness, then certainly we shall also be happy. And how are we happy? By enjoying Krishna. But we shouldn't say like that. We shouldn't think like that. But actually we do also, as sub-enjoyers. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Oh, you have them. Yeah, okay.
All right. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class.
Wonderful, yes. Krishna is wonderful.
My question...
We should always be overwhelmed with wonder.
My question is about the point on absolute surrender that you were discussing about the principle of surrendering everything. And then, so each of us is in a different situation in life with different responsibilities or different commitments. Mm-hmm. So practically speaking, when you say that, you know, to absolutely surrender to Krishna, what exactly are you directing us to? I mean, is there, you know, for our circumstances?
That we're all in different circumstances and that we all have to absolutely surrender to Krishna. And you're asking, what do you think
is it
stereotyped? It's an attitude that everything I do should be for Krishna's pleasure. It's not that everyone's doing exactly the same thing. It's not like you have to march in a goose step. But whatever we're doing, we do for Krishna. And we find so many different devotees in so many different ways are serving Krishna. Hanuman is serving Lord Rama in one way. And Rukmini is serving in another way. And you can't substitute them. You can't put Hanuman and say, hey, Rukmini, now I'll be the wife for some time. And you go and be the fighter in the monkey army. It doesn't work. They have their own swarasiki siddhi, their own perfect position of service and enjoyment in Krishna's pleasure. So in this material world also, there are unlimitedly different situations. Whatever situation we're in, we do everything for Krishna.
The question that comes to my mind in this is, for example, someone may go to an office and work professionally, and you know there may not be an opportunity to speak about Krishna or even let people know that you're practicing Krishna consciousness or that you're a devotee of Krishna. So in that circumstance, when somebody's working like that, or you see, how can they absolutely surrender to Krishna? Is it just the attitude that they have? That's my question.
I'll say that again for those who may not have heard, which means all of you heard, but others out there at the other end of the cyber bits or whatever it is, they may not have heard. So if you're working in an office and don't have an opportunity to even let others know about Krishna, how can you have an attitude of complete surrender to Krishna? Well, I would think that in America nowadays, in most situations, if you are working in an office, you can at least let people know that you are attached to Krishna. You don't have to propagate it, but you can at least let people know. If they ask you, you can say that I'm a Hare Krishna. Krishna Kirti Prabhu told me some, 12, 15 years ago, you went for an interview at for software development for the military, American military. And you told me that, and they asked, well, tell us about yourself. Because they did. And he said, well, among other things, he said, I'm a Hare Krishna. So they knew that from the beginning. And they employed him. I guess you had the idea that if you didn't tell them, they'd find out sooner or later anyway, because that's their job.
Well, they actually did investigation on me in India, actually.
When you told them that you'd been in India, then they investigated you in India.
Yeah, they investigated me in India. They actually...
You mean they had their agents there checking you out?
Yeah, asking me about who these different people that I knew there and, you know...
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't ask me?
Well, they asked the Baroda Temple. I see. They called them. But interesting part of the story was... they were actually afraid that because I was a Hare Krishna and I was applying for this military position, it actually involved nuclear weapons, you know, some. They asked, one of the people showed me this picture of a missile taking off, you know, it was a nuclear armed missile, and then they said, "Do you have a problem with this?" Because they were afraid of it. And I said, "Absolutely not. We have this book called the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight for the right cause." And so I started preaching to them a little bit. Mm. And then finally, after some time, he said, okay, we get it. You're okay with this.
Yeah. And he said that you told me that, well, you're vegetarians. And you said, yeah, we're vegetarians, but we're not pacifists.
Yeah. Yes.
So... unless maybe you have a job for some fanatical Muslim, you can probably say, but they probably, fanatical Muslims generally don't employ people in this country. I mean, the percentage of, or maybe there's like some hardcore Christian like that. They may employ people. But I think by your rights, you can't, they can't. If you just let people know, if you don't propagate it in the workplace, if you don't propagate it, if you just let people know, they're not supposed to discriminate against you. If you are in that situation, you might, somehow or other, if you're in that situation, which is quite possible in a country other, some many countries, especially if you're in an Islamic country. Then you might not be able to let people know, depending on the situation. But yeah, by your attitude, well, first of all, you have to ask, what are you doing in that situation? I mean, if you're in a situation where it's very difficult for you to practice Krishna consciousness at all, then you may ask, what are you doing in that situation at all? Because we have to mold our life in such a way that we can always think of Krishna. So maybe you should be somewhere else. I mean, for some people they may not have much choice, but for those who do, then it's better to find a position where we don't have to be so secretive. And actually, I mean, we're talking about Muslims and fanatical Muslims and Christians and this and that, but many people who are very religious, they actually appreciate others who are very religious. If for instance, you fast on Ekadashi, those who fast during Ramadan, they'll appreciate that. Many of them will appreciate that. And that we rise early, because in Islam you're supposed to rise early every day, before dawn, as we do. So many people will appreciate that. I spent many years in Bangladesh, which is a predominantly Muslim country, and many people appreciate our movement. Many Muslims appreciate our movement because they appreciate that we're serious practitioners. So if you are in a situation where it's very difficult for you to let others know that you're, even know that you're a devotee, I would say first of all that you can maybe think about changing your position. And if somehow or other you are in that position and you can't get out of it, then somehow or other you have to remember Krishna. I have a disciple who's in a Muslim country, but she's a Hindu by family background, and so she's married, but she's married in a Hindu family, but they're against Krishna consciousness, and she has to keep it all quite secret. But she's a very good devotee. And she maintains it. She does her chanting early in the morning before anyone sees and all this. She's been doing it for years. So she's a very good devotee. So it is possible. It depends on your own nishtha. How do you translate nishtha in English? Your own fixity. Fixity, yeah, determination. We can speak with the mic so others can, when someone else has it.
I just had a real quick question. Also, as a kind of an addition, there's one purport I remember in the Bhagavatam somewhere. It mentions how if a Brahmin is working in an area where there's mostly Shudras, it's generally an incompatible situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a lot of words, but something to that effect.
One should seek out good association. That's an essential principle of devotional service. It may be in some circumstances that we don't or can't get that, but it is an essential principle of devotional service to seek good association. So it may be a rare situation where we just don't or can't get any. But and another thing is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that if we can't get a good association, then we should we can get that by studying the writings of the previous acharyas. We can get their association in this way.
Also, Maharaj, your class is mostly about how Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we are meant to be enjoyed by him. And this month is Purushottam, Purushottama. I think that means also the same thing in Krishna.
Yeah, Purusha means the supreme enjoyer. It's understood like that.
Could you mention this?
Purush means enjoyer, and Purushottam means the supreme enjoyer. So in this month, devotees often perform austerities. So one purpose of that is to remind themselves help to develop the consciousness that I'm not the enjoyer of this body. So that is offered to Krishna. Not that Krishna particularly takes much pleasure in our performing austerities, but he takes pleasure in the devotee's determination to become purified and become free from the mentality of myself being the enjoyer.
Thank you, Maharaji. So, please help me to present my question. I'm not very good in English. So,
which language do you speak?
I speak Hindi.
Hindi mein bata.
Okay. Hindi mein bole?
Bole.
Then, Maharaji, mera sawal hai ki hum log basic kaam karte hain, jaise you know, mandir aate
hain. Bangla?
Nahi, I'm Hindi bol sakte hain.
Beshi? Oh, Bangla shabd hai. Aap kahan ke?
Bihar
mein ho. Hindi aur Bangla thoda mixed hote hain. Bhojpuri.
To jo basic Maharaj ji kaam hai, jaise devotee logo ke sath rehna, temple aana, chanting karna, jo matlab process hai hum log follow karte hain, lekin aapka kehna hai ki humko aur serious hona chahiye.
Hum over serious?
We should be more serious than what we are doing. So, I mean, we have been kind of doing the regular services, coming to the temple, associating with devotees, chanting our rounds. And so this is the process. So we basically advance in the spiritual life by doing the spiritual and devotional services. And then over the time, we get, you know, we be better devotee. So my question is that how we should act differently than what we have been doing.
No, don't act differently. Do what you're doing. The process is good. Lekin wo bhavana kya hai usme? That's most important. What is the attitude? You can follow the process, but it's the attitude is essential. So that's why hearing is essential. And we're hearing this point. I am not the enjoyer. I am to be enjoyed by Krishna. Just this point, if we get it right, then everything is right. And we'll make rapid advancement. So the process is there, but everything rests on hearing and association. Otherwise, there's so many people, they're doing all this. They go to the temple, they do service, they do kirtan. But the center is Shirdi Sai Baba. So it's all useless. Even they may be enthusiastic. They may have utsaha, nischad, dharyat, and everything they may have. But it's all useless. So, we specifically Krishna, not anyone else. We're here to worship Krishna. Why Krishna? Why not Sai Baba? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not anyone else. Specifically Krishna. He's not, in one sense, he's not the process itself. Because anyway, Shravanam Kirtanam is going on. Now, this Shravanam Kirtanam is going on of this Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. There's a lot of Shravan Kirtan about him. But that won't help anyone in spiritual life. You all know, because you're from America. If you go to some village in Bangladesh, they never heard of Mitt Romney and all this. Just like I was in Berlin, and I asked the devotees there, how many of you have heard of Narendra Modi? Total number, zero. How many of you have heard of Anna Hazare? Total number, zero. Big, big figures in the news every day in India. In Berlin, no one knew. Oh, there was one couple from Delhi, so they knew. In the speech. So like that, the big, big people, and if you come back later, then especially the loser of the election, you never heard of them. Let me try and think of someone else. I'm trying to think of someone who was in the presidential race and lost. Of course, I'm not from America, so I have an excuse. And think of someone, no, you were in India all these years. If you go back, say Mitt Romney loses, and then he never stands again, then in 20 years, how many people would have heard of him? He will just be lost in the forgotten. So it's Shravan Kirtan of Krishna, specifically of Krishna, not anyone. This Shravan Kirtan is going on, but specifically of Krishna. Krishna is to be heard and chanted about and served. So that we have to understand. First of all, we have to understand that everything is to be done for Krishna. Next thing, we have to understand that, that's all. Everything, without exception, for Krishna, only for. And so, everything that we have, which is also given by Krishna, whatever ability we have, is to be offered to Krishna. So, this we have to hear about because we have a diseased mentality of thinking myself the enjoyer. Or of offering our natural function of worship to persons who are not worthy of it, like Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. To some extent, as much as Naranam Chandaradhipam, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, among men I am the king. So we respect them. If a big man comes, we'll respect them. But we understand that they are not the central object of worship. Krishna is the central object of worship. So, service is there, but hearing is very important to understand why we are doing what we are doing, for whom we are doing it. Jisliye hum bhakti karte hai. Or वो भक्ति किंगो अर्पण करना है, वो सब कुछ जो हम करते हैं कौन से व्यक्ति के लिए करना है, और असंख्य जीव है वो सबके ऊपर कृष्ण भगवान है, you have to understand this. And not Durga or Shiva or Krishna, only Krishna. Yeah, anything else? Ladies section.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for that class and all your answers are really nice. My question is with regards to what you were just talking about, how Shravanam Kirtanam, you know, taking prasadam, everything should be with the consciousness that it's for the pleasure of Krishna. And we're just enjoyers by cooperation, sub-enjoyers, as you said. So when we're preaching, for example, if we're distributing prasadam or having kirtan to attract the people, but our preaching is very like subtle and indirect, are they still benefiting, or should we
be bold? Are people benefited by subtle or indirect preaching? That's the question.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's another important point. Krishna, he also, even for those who are not devotees, Krishna also supplies food, right? Even for the animals and the birds. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahuvit bahuvit vidhati kama. Krishna supplies, he supplies food for everyone. So in that way, he's also, others who have the spirit of enjoyment, separate from Krishna, ultimately they cannot enjoy without Krishna, they can't enjoy anything but Krishna. Talk about indirect preaching. Yeah, again, maybe if you're in Saudi Arabia, you have to do indirect preaching, but why in America? What's the point, actually? I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have absolutely rubbish philosophy, but they keep, and every time they say, Jesus is coming, it's always 2 years, 3 years, countdown. 3 years minus 1 day, three, and then it comes the golden day, and whoops, Jesus forgot to set his alarm. And it goes on like that, but they keep on propagating the same thing, right? And they get some followers. Not many followers, but they get some. Or Mormonism, another, you know, completely bizarre idea. But they go on propagating it. Whatever it is, PETA, this People for Ethical Treatment of it, they go on propagating their thing. So we should go on propagating our thing. Why propagate anything else? There are plenty of people propagating yoga, so why should we do that? We should propagate Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. We got the best product. Not everyone can appreciate, but actually they can. We don't know who will take it up. So why all these subtle different things? Just we can tell people Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God. I had a very good experience just a couple of nights ago in Tucson, yeah. We had a group of people who had mostly new, not a very big group, it was a house program. They just come from invitations to the restaurant. And, you know, middle class, middle America. And, you know, I just told everything very straightforward. Krishna's the Supreme, we have to serve Krishna. Someone asked a question about Yogananda. I didn't directly blast Yogananda, but I came to the point of where the person saying agreed that what his meditation is completely useless. And, you know, I was saying all kinds of things. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago. Why do we have Tilai that protects us from the agents of God of death? And they all came up to me afterwards and thanked me. Oh, thank you very much. They were, you know, you can tell them that you don't have to think that everyone's so completely against us that we can't tell that. I mean, people, they watch these Harry Potter movies, right? So at least during the Harry Potter, you have to believe that it's true. Otherwise, you can't enjoy it, right? So Why not Krishna? You tell Krishna has four hands. Yeah, why not? If Harry Potter can fly in the sky, then why can't Krishna have four? I mean, what I mean to say is that people are willing to accept the concept. So why not? You can tell them. So many things I told them, right? How Christianity is a hoax and so many things. They, I mean, I'm not saying everyone would accept it, but I didn't try, you know, I didn't go subtly this way, that way, another way. Just tell them directly. Those who are fortunate, they will accept it. Those who are not, they won't accept it. And as a matter of fact, that's the subject of my latest book. And we'll finish this session with, you can tell them all about it. Hare Krishna.